You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord put it on my heart to talk about anxiety. Perhaps you're watching this right now and you battle heavily with anxiety and maybe even panic attacks. Now, this is outside of the norm of what I normally teach on, but this is something that the Holy Spirit has really impressed upon my heart. So if you battle with fear, anxiety, paranoia, obsessive thoughts, persistent unwanted thoughts, or you know someone who struggles in any of these areas, then I really encourage you to watch this because I'm going to lay out the biblical way to overcome anxiety once and for all. You know, when I say that the Lord has impressed this on my heart, I really mean that because the Lord has been dealing with me about ministering on this very topic. And in fact, the week leading up to the time that we're recording this now, I've had calls from people who've dealt with panic attacks. I've talked face to face with people who've come to me and said, I'm dealing with anxiety. I've received messages and emails and texts about if I have any content on this particular subject. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I really believe the church needs this because this is a giant that is coming against the church, this spirit of fear and anxiety and paranoia. Some believers I even know have panic attacks and have these obsessive thoughts, these persistent unwanted thoughts that lead them to be fearful or that lead them to worry about their future. Now, there are many opinions on this topic. You can hear one preacher say one thing, another preacher say another thing. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going based off of the Word of God. So what I'm teaching here is the biblical way to overcome anxiety. I'm not going with what popular opinion says. I'm not going with what sounds kind or nice or necessarily what is sensitive to those dealing with this because I want to see you set free. So I'm going to give you the Word. I'm going to give you what the Scripture says. And really, I want you to be careful that your negative thinking doesn't allow you to miss out on the truths that you're being given here. Because it's possible that as you're watching this or listening to this, that your negative thoughts will say, oh, well, I've heard that one before, or I've received this message in some other form, some other time, and it really didn't work for me. That's a negative thought. And that's the type of thinking that has to be overcome. So unfortunately, it's the negative thinking that's keeping you in the place of anxiety. And it's also the negative thinking that may keep you from finding the solution. So I want you to leave your heart open. I want you to leave yourself open. And I want you to put your guard down and really just listen to what is being said here. Now, first of all, I have to say that there are two different kinds of fear. I wrote this down for you. There are only two kinds of ungodly fear. One kind is rooted in demonic influence, and the other kind is rooted in the flesh. After the demonic has been expelled, the flesh must remain weakened, or it will become strong, along with all of its destructive ways. Now, just because you deal with anxiety doesn't mean that you are a weak believer. Again, there are two kinds of ungodly fear. There is the kind of demonic fear that comes from a demonic influence, and that you need to be delivered from. But then there is another kind of fear, namely anxiety, that is rooted in your flesh. So just because you deal with this doesn't mean that you're not a true believer. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're a weak Christian or that you should be ashamed of yourself for struggling with this. In fact, it may very well be a part of your personality, those tendencies that lead to anxiety. So you can be delivered from the demonic, for sure, that's certain. But you will never, while on earth, be completely delivered from the flesh. So I'll deal with the spirit of fear, the demonic aspect of fear, at a later time. I'm not going to teach on that in this lesson. Right now, I want to focus on the type of ungodly fear that stems from the flesh, because that really is what the believer deals with, that anxiety that is rooted in the flesh. So ask yourself this question: from where does my fear come? Does your fear come from your spirit? Absolutely not. Does it come from the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Does it come from your Heavenly Father? Absolutely not. Fear does not come from the Spirit. It does not come from God. And the type of fear that I'm talking about doesn't come from the demonic. Yes, there is some anxiety. There are some forms of anxiety that are rooted in the demonic. But I'm talking to the Spirit-filled believer who's already gone down that road, who's already expelled the demonic forces, who's already kept those spirits at bay through prayer and through the Word and through worship in the presence of God. I'm talking to those who are living right, who have no demonic influence in their lives, and who have embraced the freedom in Christ, yet still find themselves struggling with this. That is the kind I'm addressing today. So you have to understand that this kind of fear that I'm talking about, yes, I'm aware of the other one, but this specific fear that I'm addressing right now is from the flesh. Now, your flesh never really leaves you. Your flesh shrinks and it grows, but your flesh will always be with you until the day that you're delivered from it at the day of salvation, when you go home to be with the Lord. That's when the flesh is finally removed. So we need to understand the two different kinds. There's the demonic ungodly fear, and there is the ungodly fear that is of the flesh. I'm talking about the flesh. So anxiety is really crippling. Anxiety shrinks your world. Little by little, there are fewer and fewer things that you can do. Perhaps you have an anxiety about flying in an airplane, and that anxiety keeps you out of airplanes. If you're not careful soon enough, that anxiety will keep you out of cars. And if it keeps you out of cars, that anxiety will soon push you to stay home, and it will then push you to live in one room. Because anxiety slowly chokes the life out of you. It keeps you isolated. It keeps you from experiencing life the way God intended. Anxiety really shrinks your world. Perhaps you struggle with panic attacks, and panic attacks are awful experiences. And if you've never had one, thank God for that. But if you have had one, you know what I'm talking about. Your mind cannot convince itself that there is not impending doom. When you have a panic attack, you are convinced that there is doom upon you. Perhaps you get the physical sensations. Maybe you, during a panic attack, get the physical sensations that mimic a stroke or a heart attack or a brain aneurysm. And so you start to freak yourself out because you're building on these thoughts. Perhaps you're someone who maybe thinks that you're not able to breathe or your heart's beating too fast. And then you become more aware of how you're breathing and how your heart is beating. And all of these things play into the culmination of what is called a panic attack. Sometimes in panic attacks, you feel pain. Sometimes you're sweating. Sometimes you're shaking. Sometimes you get tunnel vision. But a panic attack is always accompanied by this sense of doom and dread, this idea that death is coming to you. Those with anxiety live detached. It's almost as if you're watching your life from inside your own mind and just looking out the eyes, which act as windows. And it seems like life is taking place out here, but that there's nothing going on really inside of you. You feel detached from people, from situations, and you find it difficult to really enjoy any moment because anxiety is constantly there. You anticipate the worst in every situation. If you're driving in a car, you anticipate a car accident. If you have a headache, you anticipate a tumor. If you get a phone call, you anticipate being told that someone you love has died. If you think an ungodly thought, you anticipate that you've been cut off from God or that you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. On and on and on, these negative thoughts go, and they cause us to believe the worst in the situation. There is this constant tension you live in, a constant state of paranoia, this constant idea that something around the corner is about to happen, and it's bad, and it's going to hit at any moment. Or maybe when everything is going good, you say, things have been going too good for me. I am expecting now something to suddenly come in and destroy my life. There are paranoid, persistent thoughts that seem like they cannot be shaken. You find yourself caught in what I call the what-if cycle. You convince yourself to live peaceably for a time, and then you're dragged down by the heavy weight of the question, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I lose this person? What if I lose that support? What if I'm disconnected from this? Or what if this negative thing happens? And then you may be able to pull yourself out for a while and you're okay. And then another what if will drag you in. And you know this is anxiety because the thoughts don't leave. They remain with you. They're persistent. And if you're not careful, it will rule your life. So I want to minister freedom to you from that type of living. I'm going to give you practical biblical advice, but you have to know it's by the Holy Spirit. You can be free. I want you to know that. You can be set free from anxiety. You're not going to live with this forever. You will walk in peace. I want you to believe that you won't always be this way. Even now, your anxiety is probably saying, oh, that doesn't apply to you. Oh, he's talking to somebody else. Or, oh, you've watched so many videos. I've tried so many things. No, you will be free. And that is not how God intended you to live. And I believe your breakthrough is closer than you think. So I'm going to give you some keys. Number one, you have to read the word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of God is first and foremost. If you're not daily taking in the word of God, you're not going to be set free from anxiety. You must daily intake the word, whether that's in the morning or whether that's at night. You have to take the word in. It has to be something that's getting into your mind. Your mind is like a computer, and the program for your mind is language. What you say, what you hear, what you think, what you read, those words heard over and over and over again program the way you think. So when you're getting into the word, you are downloading the software that God intended for your mind to run on. If you're not downloading that software, it's going to run on some movie you saw. It's going to run on some story you read in the news that scared you. It's going to run on some negative thought that you have. You have to get the word of God. This is your foundation. This is the source of your victory. You must get in the word. If you don't have the word in your life, you have no foundation. Do you realize that everything you put in your mind, absolutely everything, causes some effect? So this is why we must, number one, read the word. That's first and foremost. If you're not doing that, that's probably why you're not free. You need to be in the word daily. Number two, you must resist negative thoughts. Now, here I have to stop because here is where people get cynical. Oh, the positive thinking. Oh, I've been told this before. And I understand it's frustrating because I've dealt with anxiety before. It's frustrating to be going through a horrific scenario plagued by anxiety only to have someone who doesn't understand what anxiety or a panic attack feels like tell you, oh, just don't think about it too much. Or, oh, just put your mind on something else. There's nothing more frustrating than that because you're saying, no, if I could do that, I would have done that a long time ago. The thing with anxiety is it is persistent. It is stubborn. This is why we must learn to resist negative thoughts. Now, this really is the key. This is a major one. This really is the key to overcoming this, is monitoring what you think. Now, this is very simple, but it's not easy. Meaning it's straightforward, it's something that you know you should do, but it's not necessarily easy to do. Kind of like dieting, it's simple, but it's not easy. Budgeting your money, it's pretty simple, but it's not easy. It takes discipline, it takes effort, it takes consistency. So you're not going to like this key, like I said, because you've likely heard it before. But it really is about changing your thinking. That really is the key. Again, what does the Bible say? Here's what it says, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a promise. That's what the Bible says. He'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What does that mean? It means if your mind is on the Lord, you're going to be in perfect peace. You're not in perfect peace, then maybe your mind is not on the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give this to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's a command. In other words, fear is something that we allow. I know it doesn't feel like that. And here's the thing, pastors and leaders and ministers who mean well will think that I'm cruel for telling you that you really need to overcome your negative thinking. They'll say, well, if it was that easy, they would have done it. And I understand. I'm saying it's that simple. I understand it's not that easy, but I'm saying it's that simple. Some pastors will say, it's not a matter of thought. It's not a matter of monitoring your thoughts. It's not a matter of controlling what you think, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you put your mind on the Lord, you will be in perfect peace without anxiety. So Well, I understand that some people will get upset at me for saying that to you. I'm giving you the truth. This is how you're going to be free, is monitoring the thoughts. Some people will even will try to say what culture is saying because they want to be cool or relevant or hip. I don't want to be cool or relevant or hip. I want to be biblical, and I want to help you actually get free. So this is what the truth is. You have to monitor your thinking. You have to get a hold of those thoughts. And if anyone's ever told you that you can't because you have anxiety, they lied to you. The Bible makes it clear that you have the power over your thoughts. So pastors, stop saying to people that it's not a matter of thought control, because it really is when it comes down to it. You're not protecting anyone by telling them that, oh, I understand you can't control the thoughts. This is the truth. So the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I love this one. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is what? Life and peace. I'll prove it to you that you can overcome your negative thoughts. Have you ever been in a moment where you realized that you were anxious and you look back on it and you thought, oh my gosh, for 5 minutes there, or for 10 minutes there, or for an hour there, I didn't feel the anxiety. Maybe something positive distracted you. And it's not necessarily about distraction, but I'm just wanting to prove a point here. If you've had even 5, 10 minutes without anxiety, that should be proof to you that it's possible to go without it. And if you look back at that moment, you'll find that your thoughts were positive. So that's proof to you that you can do this. The mind is like a wild stallion. It's fast and it's powerful. I'm not telling you to change the way you think, because you're a deep thinker. That's why you have anxiety. I'm telling you to capture it. Don't kill the stallion. Control the stallion. Get on that and break it in. Learn to steer those powerful thoughts and bring them into subjection to the Word of God. So capture the thoughts and make sure they remain positive. So that was number one, was read the Word. Number two was resist negative thoughts. Number three, recognize your weaknesses. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love. For the grapevines are blossoming. Again, that's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. What's it saying there? It's saying, catch the little foxes before they destroy the vine. In other words, get to the little things before they become a big problem. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In other words, these small things that enter the heart, these little thoughts that enter the mind, they become these big issues. So recognize your weaknesses. I'll tell you this, this will really help you, because I know it helped me. You have to remember that fear wears many masks. Fear will look to any excuse to get into your life. You think, oh, if only I had my questions answered, I wouldn't be afraid. Oh, if only I understood the future and what would happen to me, I wouldn't be afraid. If only I had this question answered, or if only I had this matter settled, or if only I had this one issue resolved, then I would no longer be anxious. That's not true, because fear will wear many masks and it will come in many forms. So it's the same fear coming in on a different excuse to occupy your mind. Sometimes it's a physical excuse. You may have a headache and then you think it's a brain tumor or a brain aneurysm. You may have, again, problems with your left side of your body. And I'm not saying don't check up on these things. I mean, of course, you want to stay healthy and get medical advice, but some people do it obsessively. And so physical sensations is an excuse for fear to attach itself to you. Maybe it's a philosophical question, like you think too deeply, so you freak yourself out. And you obsess about one philosophical idea or one biblical question, and you won't let yourself be at peace until you've had that question answered. Or maybe in a relationship, you won't let yourself be at peace until that person has told you what you wanted to hear, or you don't get the promotion that you want, or you want something to be secured about your future. It doesn't matter. Fear is going to attach itself to anything in your life, and it will try to convince you to let it stay. So it's the same fear, different mask. The issue is not what you're dealing with at the surface. The issue is the fear itself, and the fear itself is rooted in negative thinking. So learn to recognize fear before it becomes big. If you find yourself getting a little panicky because you thought you felt your heart rate go up a little bit, Remind yourself, you know what? I do deal with anxiety. If you find yourself offended or you feel like you're isolated because someone didn't respond to you a certain way or didn't greet you the way you had anticipated, don't think that your whole social life is falling apart. Don't imagine that everyone's looking at you as some strange person. Just let it go and allow yourself to recognize, you know what? I tend to overthink things. I tend to blow things out of proportion. This probably isn't as big of an issue as I'm making it. You say, but I can't. And I say, yes, you can. It'll take time, but this is something you must learn to do. Number four, reach out to others. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I myself, in having dealt with anxiety, have had to go to certain people. You need to reach out to other people. Now, don't overlook your friends, because often people with anxiety will obsess about the one who is not there for them instead of recognizing the ones who are. It may not be the one that you want to receive help from, or it may not be the ideal situation. You may wish or hope or tell yourself, I wish this person would care more about me, but maybe they don't. And you just have to learn to respect yourself enough to let that go. But what you do have to do is reach out to the ones who do care, and they will be there for you. But God will always put someone there, even if it's not the one you were hoping would help. Isolation agitates anxiety. True friends won't push you away because of anxiety. If you have, now listen to me, if you're watching this and you have a friend who struggles with anxiety, let me tell you, you have to be patient with them. You have to realize it's not something that they can just snap out of. It's not that easy. This takes work over long periods of time to get themselves thinking in a regular and new and positive pattern. It's a very horrific struggle. If you've ever had a near-death experience or can imagine what one might be like, just that's what it is. They think they're dying with panic attacks, or they think something is coming to an end. Whatever it is, the worst case scenario, that's what they're imagining, and everything's crashing around them. It's a dark and lonely place. So be there for them. Recognize this is a real thing. Don't say things like, oh, get over it, or oh, go outside and get some air. Be there and say, I'm here for you. I'm going to help you. Pray with them and just be present. That alone will help them. But you do, number four, need to reach out to others. Number five, reach up to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In the presence of God, there's peace. It's just that simple. The presence of Jesus brings perfect peace. Number six, rest your body. Psalm chapter 127, verse 2 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, this describes a time that Jesus was on a boat in the middle of a storm. Look what he's doing. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Anxiety is agitated by weariness. Even Jesus rested. Even Jesus slept. Even God rested after creation, or he ceased from his work. There was a period, a pause. There's time that you need to take for yourself. Rest is key. Get sleep. Eat right. Take care of yourself. I know this doesn't sound spiritual, but it is, because your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You need to take care of yourself. You'll notice that when you lack sleep, anxiety arises faster. Now you may say, I can't sleep because my anxiety, and I have anxiety because I can't sleep. Well, if you put into practice all the other keys I'm giving you consistently, then you'll find some relief to where you can sleep, and you'll find this thing turning around. You're going to turn this thing around. Number seven, final key. Repeat until there is breakthrough. Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. So keep reading the word. Keep resisting negative thoughts. Keep recognizing your weaknesses and catching things before they get big. Keep reaching out to others. Keep reaching up to the Lord. Keep resting your body. Continue to do these things. Repeat these things. Now, you may have heard all these before. You may have not. You may be saying, none of this has ever worked for me. Well, none of it has worked for you because you probably haven't done it consistently. Why? Because before you can become consistent, the negative thought comes in and says, oh, that's not working. Maybe you've done it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months, and you found no change. But if you continue to do these things, you will find peace. You will find your breakthrough. It will only work if you consistently do it. Let me tell you something. It's okay to start living your life and enjoying it. Stop looking over your shoulder and waiting for the past to come back and haunt you. Stop looking at the future and waiting for a disaster to come. Disaster may come. Tragedy may come. But you belong to the Lord. And He'll keep you in perfect peace no matter what you face. Even if the worst of the worst occurs, you're in the presence of God. Step out today. Stop anticipating the worst. It's okay to begin enjoying your life now. Relax. Have peace. Have faith. Do these things, and I believe you'll be set free.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.